back to another Black Snake Bites episode. Today we're talking with Kevin Kenzinger, our own financial counselor at the 122nd Fighter Wing. As a drill status guardsman, it is hard to make time on that one weekend a month to go seek out all the resources that are available on base. So my goal with this interview is to give our airmen a baseline knowledge of how you can help them manage their money and retirement, ideally so that they can walk into your office with some goals already in mind for their financial future. We're also going to talk about how military members are no longer required to pay state income tax in Indiana. And I want to give you a chance to brag about yourself as you have helped our service members who worked on COVID-19 state active duty orders save almost $600,000. Without further ado, Kevin, can you tell our audience about yourself and your background in finance?
Glad to be interviewed today. It's an absolute honor to serve our military. I'm a retired Army reservist. I had spent 4 years on active duty. My wife and I were stationed in Germany, and then the rest of my time I was in the Army Reserves. Near the end of my career, I got the opportunity to command a battalion in Balad, Iraq. And the reason I point that out is that it helps for folks to know that I've been deployed, I've been where they're at, where they're going to be going, It's just an honor to be able to continue serving.
Well, we appreciate that you're out here.
Good. I'm also not only a wealth advisor, but I'm also a certified public accountant in Indiana. So, unfortunately, I got the reputation of doing knowing taxes only, but we can handle a whole lot of other kind of things too.
How long have you worked out here on the base?
I've just started my third year here, and I had 3 years at Grissom before that.
Okay.
So in total, about 6 years doing helping.
How long out here just living in Fort Wayne?
We've been here for 33 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much a native at this point.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to get into the changes to Indiana's tax law. So let's just dive into that. Can you talk about how this change is going to affect all military members filing their taxes in Indiana for 2023?
Yes. Indiana, very late in the year, the governor made an announcement that 2023 tax season, which we're in right now, they actually sped up a law that was going into effect in January 1st of 2024. So 2023, no military in the National Guard or Reserves are going to be paying any state income tax, which means everybody's going to get a nice refund, particularly the full-timers. And we're helping a lot of full-timers with those questions of how to go about doing that particular refund. And it's a bit tricky depending on what software they're using, so we're helping everybody walk through those. So hopefully this interview will help the ones that haven't called already to help them get that refund. The bottom line is that everybody, full-timers, drilling reservist, National Guard, Reserve, Air Guard, Marines, everybody's got to actually type in a number to the return in order to get that refund this year. And they have to find whatever software they're using. They have to find the National Guard or Reserve component member deduction, and then type in from their DFAST box 16. They type in that number as part of the National Guard or Reserve component member deduction. And that will also show up on their Schedule 2 on their Indiana return. And the other thing to make sure is on their Indiana refund, it should be about the same amount as box 17 on their DFAST W-2.
Okay.
If they're dual status, add their two DFAST W-2s together. If married filing joint, both are in the National Guard or Air Guard, they have to add those two together also. And it's not just drilling reserves is going to be a couple $300 generally. But for full timers, it's significant. $2,000 or $3,000 is what they're generally getting back this year.
That's going to be really awesome for everybody.
Absolutely.
Who's turning in those returns.
Absolutely.
So going forward to 2025, when we turn in this year's returns, are they going to just not take out that tax in the future, or are we going to be looking at doing this every year?
Their DFAS is trying to make the programming changes to stop withholding money. They haven't yet. So we'll at least have a few months worth in tax season 2024 that we'll have to do the same thing unless they change it.
Okay. Gotcha. Can you speak to the different types of filing services like TurboTax? Like, what is there anything people should know specifically for using those different services?
Yeah. And this is another big difference. In the past, we've had to, in order to get the military service deduction, that was the first $5,000 in Indiana was not taxed. Get that in TurboTax and MilTax, which is the military version of H&R Block that's available at Military OneSource, we had to say that we're on active duty. Mm-hmm. This year, we're not active duty. We have to say that we're Air Guard or Reserve. In order to be able to see the National Guard or Reserve component deduction.
Now you must be pretty busy right now with tax season.
It's phenomenally busy this year, but it's very helpful to almost everybody I talk to. Mm-hmm. Get a pretty they're very pleasantly surprised when their conversation is done. So
that doesn't happen too often when you do your taxes.
That's exactly right.
Hey everyone. This is Lieutenant Rogers from the Black Snake Bites team, taking a quick break to thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. We want to spread the word beyond the 122nd Fighter Wing to family, friends, and anyone who wants to learn more about the United States military. Please take a moment to share this episode on social media or leave us a review on your preferred podcast platform. And for our Black Snake members, if you are interested in volunteering your skills to work on the Black Snake Bites production team, please reach out to myself, Lieutenant Elizabeth Rogers, at the Operations Group, or to Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser at the Maintenance Squadron. Thank you. Could you talk to us about what services you provide to the members of the 122nd Fighter Wing, just broadly?
It actually pretty much any questions they might have for financial, because a lot of issues end up being a financial issue. So we can help with family budgeting, pretty much any type of insurance question you might have, particularly if you own a rental property. Then we can help with answering some questions about homeowners policies and liability insurance. We can also help with credit repair, which is very, very important with so many top secret and secret clearances here. That we can help repair those credit issues. Also with any type of home loan questions, particularly in VA benefits, both educational and home ownership. We also obviously help with tax return questions and TSP and blended retirement system questions. We also do a lot of help with folks getting closer to retirement and to try to ease the questions about what their income's going to be all the way to the time they're 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And also one of the fun ones I usually do, and I take care of the National Guard too within the area. I take them through a bonus. A lot of them get $20,000 bonuses when they're 20 years old. And of course, what do they want? A 20-year-old want to do with the $20,000? They want to buy a car. Well, I take them through the steps of investing that in TSP at 7.5%. And it takes about 10 years for that money to double. Well, from the time that that $20,000, no additional payments in, just that initial $20,000, by the time they're 90 years old, is a stack of $100 bills 10 and a half feet tall, $2.5 million.
It's a couple cars.
And then the punchline of all that is, if it's invested in traditional TSP, then all of that money is eventually taxed.
Right.
But if they put it into Roth, only about $2,000 is a tax bill out of that $2.5 million, because all the investment earnings forever are tax-free. That should be a pretty good lesson learned.
Let's take somebody who's just starting out in the military. What is, I guess, maybe some of the common pitfalls that people fall into? You already mentioned maybe buying an expensive car, but what are some common pitfalls? And then what would you recommend to circumvent those pitfalls if you're just starting out?
Sure. First up, because of the way TSP works, it's actually a really, really good, powerful system compared to the old high five or high three system that I retired under. With TSP, if the airman saves 5%, the government matches that 5%. They can put in more, but if they start that at age 20, if they save 5%, they're actually giving themselves a 5% raise.
Right.
And then continue doing that for their lifetime, they're going to retire very, very well. Mm-hmm. And retirement happens really fast. As I tell them often in briefings, I still remember when I went on active duty. I'm going to show my old age now, but I came on active duty in the summer of 1980, and I remember seeing my mandatory retirement date of 2008. I thought, my, that's a long way off. Well, now it's a long way in my rearview mirror. So it happens so fast. So everybody should consider retirement. If they save 10% over the course of their working career, they're going to do very, very well. A couple of the numbers that it sticks in my head is if you save $6,000 per year towards a 401k plan, and TSP is the world's largest 401k plan. If you save $6,000, the government matches, or your employer matches $6,000. If you start that at age 20 and continue just the $6,000 until you're 65, and if it does return an average of 7.5%, at age 65, you're going to have $3.5 million. I think everybody can retire on $3.5 million. And of course, if your spouse does the same thing, then you double that. And everybody should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But life gets in the way. But that has got to be a conscious effort all the way through.
If someone plans on not retiring from the military, what happens with their TSP when they get out?
That's the primary reason why governments went to the TSP, is because it goes with you. As long as it's vested, and generally it vests after 2 years. So vesting means that the government, the money that you contributed will go with you the next day. But the government, the money the government contributes gets vested after 2 years. Generally, it's 2 years, which means that the government's contribution after a couple years goes with you too. And so if you don't stay in forever, then all that money you can transfer to another 401k plan and still accrues investment earnings until you take it out. It was meant to be a recruiting tool, and it really is.
And if you go into another line of work where they have their own 401k program. How does that talk to the TSP? Can you incorporate those funds into your new 401k? How does that work?
You could transfer it to the civilian 401k if you want. You can leave it in TSP. Mm-hmm. It's all up to the individual. And the investments, you control what assets they're all being invested into, too.
So I want to talk more about when you were able to help our military members on state active duty orders. Mm-hmm. So back during the height of the pandemic, when Governor Holcomb signed an executive order, he activated the National Guard to assist with the public health emergency. Mm-hmm. And the airmen from our base that went on those state active duty orders, they helped with logistics and supporting medical professionals in the early months of the pandemic. I know we don't really like to think about that time anymore. But as anybody who has worked in the National Guard knows, there are a lot of different types of orders, mm-hmm. and different pots of money that you could be paid out of. Which could result in your pay being taxed differently,
right,
from those different pots of money. So because the state active duty orders were so unprecedented, because those orders are reserved for natural disasters or homeland defense missions, could you talk through how you were able to assist those airmen with processing that complicated tax situation?
Yeah, well, I want to give all the credit to my colleague, Mark Fiddler, down in Indianapolis. He's the one that worked this with the in Indiana Department of Revenue, and I mean, he did a whole lot of research, and basically it's the 502F orders that are a special form of federalized orders. We had folks, not only the immunization teams, but also the food banks, U.S. Capitol, and prisons. Mm. The closest I can figure is around 12,000 National Guard, Air Guard, and some reservists were on those type of orders at some place, sometime in 2020 and 2021 and 2022.
Is that just in Indiana or total?
Just Indiana.
Just Indiana. Wow.
Yeah. With this base, we had, it's right at 77 airmen that were on those types of orders, and I also help with pretty much everybody in northern Indiana right now, because so that's how I get so many folks. But what we do on those, and we still are doing them.
Really?
Oh yeah, there's still a bunch. We need to amend it. Actually, the Department of Revenue came up with a very simplified method to do those refunds. What we do is to calculate how many days they were on orders. So we got to get all those orders from out of IPERMs. And then we calculate the number of days they're on duty. Mm-hmm. Then we go to the military pay scale for that year, divided by 30 days to get to a daily earnings, multiplied the number of days, and then we put it on the National Guard Reserve Component member deduction, and submit that to the state Department of Revenue, and they send them a refund.
Wow.
Generally, we're averaging around $1,000 per airman and soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, they're very thankful for those.
Yeah.
these are the weird exceptions, but there was a captain was on for over 2 years that well over $3,000 coming back. There's a major that's on for over 2 years. She's getting a lot of money back.
Mm-hmm.
Those are throughout the state. And so just the folks I've helped were over $600,000 of money they getting back,
mm-hmm.
From the state.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more to be had.
Really? I think the moral of the story here is that for military members, like, it's good to seek out resources like yourself to handle these types of situations, because it's just not something that's easy to understand. It's very counterintuitive sometimes trying to understand where certain money's coming from and how you're taxed on that stuff.
Absolutely.
It's very confusing at times.
And in Indiana in particular, doing a lot of good things to help our military, but for these years of transition, it gets very confusing. And I also probably shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. The returns that I've seen that are prepared by a tax professional revolving these military, they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those professionally prepared returns are just not done right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's costing our airmen and soldiers a lot of money.
Right. So not only the state active duty orders being very unprecedented, but just being in the military itself comes with a lot of nuances that
Absolutely.
The regular tax professional may not have experience dealing with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the reason for these law changes that Indiana have done is to match what Michigan and Illinois have done for a number of years, which makes a lot of good sense. But again, there's transition years that, and we're in the middle of those that are very confusing.
Right.
We'll work on getting everybody's money back as long as we can.
Well, thank you for doing that. I'm sure everybody who's gotten that money back really appreciates the effort you've put in.
Well, it's their money. So glad to help them.
So let's shift now to talking more about the educational side of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
If I walked into your office and asked for help developing a financial plan, what steps would you suggest to get me started? Let's say I don't really have any sort of budget and I haven't really formulated short-term or long-term goals at this point.
Are you married, single? It's one of the first things to do is that really becomes a joint discussion.
Mm.
You don't have to both be sitting here, but that's one of the main things that causes stress in a marriage is financials. So we try to get both involved.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll spend some time figuring out what your incomes are, where your money's going, and see what's out of line. Usually it's the car payments. Car payments get folks in trouble really quick. Overall, car payments, total cost of ownership, and that's all the cars, all the trucks, car loan, gasoline, insurance, repairs, should be somewhere between 10 and 15% of your total income. And almost everybody just blows that out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an intermediate thing. There's not a whole lot you can do about the vehicles you got right now, but hopefully it's going to change your next purchase. And I drive a 12-year-old car with 270,000 miles on it. So
you've got that one under control.
That's right. the other thing with the most everything really boils down as far as budgets are concerned. I learned this from one of my banker friends. It either a revenue problem or an expense problem.
Hmm.
And believe it or not, it's easier to cut expenses than to generate more income. And the other thing is it's weekends and eating out.
Hmm.
Those are the killers now, too.
What about subscription services like Netflix, Hulu, that kind of stuff? Do you see those?
People get
up?
Shocked at how much they're paying for those.
Yeah,
easily $300 to $400 a month.
Mm. So maybe that first step is just putting out on paper what it is exactly that's going out the door every month and your recurring expenses.
Or just write down everything you're spending money on for 2 weeks. It's painful, but just have a little pocket notebook, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks is enough, because after that, if you go farther than that, it gets really depressing. But as an example, what do you do for lunch? Do you buy lunch every day? Do you bring your own? Do you stop off and get a donut every morning or a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
At $5, as a friend of mine always calls it, what's those daily habits? And then how much does that really cost every month? And it's shocking how much it is.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend spending for food and eating out and entertainment. That's the other big one. Make a list of those, and then we'll just say, how do you cut that in half? I did this with one guy. He figured out that he was spending $3,600 a year on just lunch stuff.
Hmm.
So we got back together again and said, okay, how do you cut that in half? And he figured it out, lunch meat or whatever. And he just gave himself over $2,000 a year raise by just figuring that one out. Next time I talked with him, because he was struggling going through a divorce and custody, about a year and a half, 2 years later, he was getting remarried and happy as can be. And I hope that part of that was that we helped him get through that rough spot. It was the financial side of the rough spot, not the emotional side, but at least we helped him a little bit.
Right.
Great guy, wonderful guy. And he's a senior NCO now. It wasn't then, but he is now.
Yeah.
Good guy.
So as we're wrapping up the interview, I really want to push your services out to everybody on the base to come and talk to you. So what is your 30-second pitch to the airmen at the 122nd Fighter Wing to come and talk to you?
Yeah. If you have any doubts at all about taxes, I would be glad to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not already in TSP, they need to be. I'll be glad to help them get started doing that because everybody's going to retire. And before they buy a car, come see me. And the other thing is, if they're not already taking a college degree or a master's degree, or some kind of a certification, they need to come see me because they're giving back $4,500 every year that they're not using that benefit.
Well, you heard it here. Everybody should come talk to Kevin.
That's right.
So where can we find you if somebody wants to come talk to you on base, and how do you make an appointment?
Sure. I'm right here in the headquarters building, lower level, right across from the men's restroom. I'm here pretty much every day, 8 to 4. If I'm not here, I'm at one of the armories. And then I'm here during the drill weekends, too. My card is right out there with all my contact information. And we can either talk on the phone or we can make an appointment. Be glad to help anybody with any issues they might have.
Perfect. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on Black Snake Bites. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk us through all this. And everybody have a great drill weekend. We'll talk to you next time.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.